Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
So apparently, the Dreamers aren't supposed to be moving around or they're afraid to leave. I saw an undocumented legal alien, Dreamer. What do we call? I mean, what's not offensive? Everything's offensive, right? Even if you call them a dreamer, is that now offensive? Because you're dreaming? It's like you're saying, oh, you're dreaming. You're never going to be a citizen. Is that offensive? I don't even know anymore. How about should we call them a wandering nomad looking for a home yet not anchored to any particular country of origin? Is that too much? Is that a mouthful? But apparently Trump, they're afraid of Trump, that Trump's going to throw them all away. Look, there's much to do about nothing when it comes to Trump. I know that there's a lot of stuff that he said, but I have news for you. The one thing we're going to find out that's all politician is he said a lot of things that won't come true. Some of it he's going to try to make come true, but it's just not going to come true, right? It's just not. So I'm here to tell you that. Where would you be going if you're a dreamer? Do you go home? Is that what you, I wouldn't even know. Is that what happens? And I ain't quite sure. But that is the whole issue right there, right? I mean, that's the whole, like, issue is the dreamers and this whole immigration thing. First of all, let me tell you, the biggest wall that Trump is going to face in this entire fight isn't going to be how do we build the wall? It's how do I get over the wall that is the Congress? How do I get over the House and Senate and get these people to do what the hell I want them to do? How do I do it? That's going to be his biggest issue. That right there is going to be the biggest issue he's going to have. Because the Republicans are going to push back. The Democrats are going to push back. And they can talk all they want. See, it's easy to say. It's easy to challenge a fight when you know you're never going to fight. Right? It's easy to say, I'll kick your ass. But you know you're never going to fight that person. So you can say anything you want. Trump may really want to build a wall, and I think he does, or at least portions of a wall. But what I don't think he realizes is the Republicans talk a great game, but they got nothing. They don't want to get rid of this. I told you there's an easy way. A solution to this is easy. Not going to cost you the kind of money it's going to cost to build a wall. It's actually going to be effective. And that is cut it off at the source of why they come here. Meaning, go after the employers. Make them pay. Make them afraid to hire somebody they're not quite sure of. And watch what happens. That's what'll happen. They'll all run. The employers are like, sorry, can't do this. I'm not going to risk everything. Sorry, it's not going to do it. But the dreamers, man, I'm telling you, it's interesting. It is interesting. I mean, the fear factor that is so big with them. And you know, this is it. And this is where, so where's the common sense in this, right? You know, you got an 18-year-old or a 12-year-old or 14-year-old, and you're using the fear factor. Trump's not kicking in your door. This isn't going to happen. None of this stuff is going to happen. The talk is great, but in the end, it's going to be cheap because he's going to get all kinds of grief from the right. He's going to get all kinds of grief from the left. They're going to put up a fight. They're going to drag it on. Nothing's going to get done. Now, will he enforce more? I.e., they catch him. They don't turn around and throw him, you know, back out after a while. When we were out at the border, we were surprised. You know, they're literally catch and release. The Border Patrol agent, Chris, he was telling us, they come up to them now and put their arms together, if they don't speak English, just to say, put the handcuffs on me, because they know exactly what's going to happen. They're going to go. They're going to be detained for 72 hours, maybe at a maximum. Then they're going to open the door and let them out. They know the rules. If they had nowhere to land, though, that's the thing. If they got nowhere to land, Meaning they, you know, your cousin's telling you to come over here because I can get you a job working for X, Y, and Z company. They're not going to ask any questions. You know, they're paying cash or you're going to get, you know, whatever it is. They got a, you know, whatever, identity, whatever. I don't know how they do it. Some of them it's just cash. Some of them it's other things. If that's what they're telling them. But then you call your cousin and you say, hey, I want to come over. And he's like, look, dude, they're clamping down, man. They're getting rid of everybody. My boss can't. He's getting rid of me and everything. Just turn around and head back. There's nothing here for us. But they know the system. I think where you're going to see an improvement, if you will, or the slowdown, is the fact that if he catches more and the Border Patrol turns around and sends him back immediately, that will be a bigger improvement. And I think the fear of Trump alone will slow people from coming here. But remember this. If Trump does what he wants to do to the economy, right? And the boom is there, and we're growing exponentially yearly. And all of a sudden, the likes of IBM and everybody else is bringing back jobs. And there's some manufacturing jobs, but it's just it's a need for employees. That's going to ring, you know, the dinner bell. Ding, 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 ding. And people are going to head over. It's going to happen. But the whole fear-mongering of we're going to throw you out of here. We're getting out of here. We're tossing you out. You're done. It's just not. I mean, it's sometimes I wonder, do I live in an alternate universe? Like, people buy into this stuff? I guess they do. And I just, you know, but other people are feeding it to them. You know, the same people that buy into that propaganda or the conspiracy theories, and they listen to shows who will, you know, placate them and tell them all these, you know, wacky things. And you just and you buy into it and you feed into it more and more and more and more. You start believing all this crap. You know, it's the same thing. You find kids who are scared and you prey on their fears and you tell them you're a dreamer. And he's already said, no, I'm not going to do anything. But they're so worried that it's a lie. Like, he's going to go, I gotcha. I think his biggest concern is getting the economy on the right track. Here's something for all you Trump fans out there. Should I call them fans? I think they're, because that's what they are, right? Like, your constituents. But I mean, here's something for the fans. Because let's be real, a good majority of them are fans. But here's something: what happens if he doesn't build the wall? What happens if not only he doesn't build the wall, but a good majority of stuff that he tries to do flops? Like, look, if the economy is booming, we will take what we get, right? Like, if you're happy and you're not worried about your paycheck and you've got a little extra money in your pocket and things are going well and you're not looking over your shoulder waiting for your boss to come hand you a pink slip and you're thinking about buying a house and you're not fearing out, it's like, oh, yeah, oh my God, if I bought this house and I get fired, you're not worried about those things. It's like, you know, winning cures all ills. You'll kind of forget all of that, right? You'll just turn your head and say, okay, it's okay. But what happens if the economy doesn't quite explode? He doesn't bring jobs back the way that we expect and are hoping for. And he doesn't get the wall built. And he doesn't get tax reform. And he overturns, you know, he throws out Obamacare. But then everything is a house of cards and it tumbles. And we just, what happens then? I'm curious. And these are fair questions to ask. I think these are very fair questions. Look, I want him to succeed. I want him to have tax reform. I want to see him fix and deal with immigration. I want to see him go out there and do the right thing when it comes to jobs and tax reform and employment and all of those things. I want to see this tackled. And I'll be as fair as anybody. If he tries these things and he gets roadblock after roadblock, even from his own party, I will point that out all day. But I'm just curious that is, you know, are we going to hold him to those kind of promises that, you know, all the other politicians made? I think it's a very fair and real question to ask. Speaking of fair and real and good business, I got some good business to you, and it comes with goodies, bonuses, if you will. Superbeats. I talk about Superbeats. You've heard me talk about it for a while. It's my go-to drink. I love it. When I feel sluggish, when I feel down, when I wake up in the morning, sometimes I need a little kick in the butt, and guess what? Superbeats gives it to me, and it does it in a healthy way. I take it with me everywhere I go. Sometimes I need it in the morning. Sometimes I need an afternoon boost as well. Superbeats there to provide me with the energy and stamina I need. And if I still not convinced you, and if Phil's still not convinced you, try this great-tasting Super Beats drink. There's an offer this holiday season as we head to the new year where you're going to subtly make great changes and better yourself that you just will not miss. Now, Phil drove a lot this weekend. Phil's always on his Super Beats. In fact, we got more Super Beats coming to us. Phil, it's the taste. I think that's the biggest fear I get from people is it's got to taste horrible.
Yeah, that was the one thing that was holding me back from trying it. But once I did, I've really enjoyed it. And again, driving 16 hours each way was a little bit difficult, and didn't want to drink a lot of coffee. But the Super Beats taste good, and it gives me energy, and it's just a wonderful product.
It is. It is absolutely. And remember, subtle changes as we head into the new year are going to be huge. And you're looking for great gift ideas, and you know maybe your husband or your wife or your brother or boyfriend, whatever it is, they're looking to lose some weight. They're looking to make subtle changes. This is it. They waste money on the sodas and coffee and this, that. Hey, give them this, and they will thank you for it. Now, because you listen to the Chad Benson Show, you're going to get a 30-day supply of Super Beats free with your first order, plus a book called Beat the Odds free. And this all comes to you with free shipping. But here's a great thing. This season, right, this holiday season, this Christmas time, you're going to get free one-month supply of Nutrient Foundation. Now, this is a unique daily multivitamin specifically designed to work in this whole Super Beats realm. It's working together hand in hand. It's packed with 24 essential nutrients for daily cardiovascular support. That's a $100 gift coming to you absolutely free. So if you're going to give the gift of health this year, let us help you. Let Super Beats help you. It's guaranteed your money back. That's what's amazing. Guaranteed your money back. Go to chadbeats.com. That's chadbeats.com or call 800-561-2677. That's 800-561-2677. This stuff really works. Go to chadbeats.com, order today or call 800-561-2677 and says, Chad wants me to be healthier in the new year. They'll help you. Chad Benson Show.
What the hell does that have?
That just might be the dumbest idea I've ever heard, ever.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
You're always free to text the show. Agree, disagree. You can call the show as well, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. I think this is the first day I've given out the phone number this week. I am horrible at that. I really am. I like the texting. I think it's the youth. You're busy. You got nothing to do. You can text really quick. You know, it is what it is, right? It is what it is. Somebody texted in and said, I respectfully disagree on your abortion stance. If the man is held responsible for supporting the child, if the woman wants it, he should also have a say in whether or not the child is aborted. Child has half his DNA and 18 years of his money. Chad. Look, of all the people to sit here and could throw up something when it comes to something like this, I will tell you that as far as I'm concerned, you may have your own opinion. Beauty about the world is we're allowed to have opinions here in this country, and they don't always have to agree with one another, and we can respectfully disagree with one another. It's a woman's body, and yes, while I understand the stance you're taking in, I completely understand that there are a lot of men out there who have been robbed and jobbed and feel like they get stuck in something. And let me tell you something, at least once or twice a year, we hear stories of a woman who has a child and the guy's paying for it, then they find out that child's not his, but the state's going to continue to make him pay for it because the child's accustomed to something. I mean, it's insane. We get that. But I look at it and I say, you know, this is the woman's right. If she wants to do that, I'm not going to stand in her way. And I also claim responsibility that if I was responsible enough as a human being to have sex knowing what the potential was, that this person and I may procreate even if we don't want to, and that the person that I tried to, who procreated with or had sex with may have a child, you must accept that responsibility as well. I think we forget that. So there's a responsibility all around. It is. Beauty of it, though, is if you agree or disagree, it's the beauty of our country is we can have differing opinions. Remember, the most diverse thing in the world isn't color of skin, isn't sexuality, isn't religion. It is diversity of thought. We don't always have to agree. By the way, I'm pissed right now at the Cleveland. I don't know if I want to talk about this now or if I want to save it for a bigger segment. I think there's a portion of me wants to save it for something. Producer Anthony, should I go bigger with this one? Because we had a good debate about this today with the basketball, the tickets, and the whole nine yards. I should go bigger on this one, I think. I think I should go bigger on this. I'm going to go big. I'm going to go big on this because it angered me. It really did. It's going on right now, and it has angered me tremendously. And I wanted to talk about it, but I want to give it at least a good 5 minutes. Because I was perturbed by this. And when you hear about it, you'll be like, I get where you're coming from. I do. Do you see Wonder Woman, who is wonderful, has no longer an ambassador for women at the UN. Linda Carter was the representative of Wonder Woman, celebrating the 75th anniversary of Wonder Woman. She was going to be the ambassador, and Wonder Woman was the ambassador for women and children around the world, and boys and men for gender equality, blah, 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 blah. But people were pissed because they don't feel that a tall, buxom, sexy, high boot wearing, crime fighting hottie should represent women around the world. That was a white hottie too, by the way. White hot is what she was. Gee, white hot. Now, do you think? Answer me this one, producer Phil. Was there Gigi Hadid? Is that her name? I don't know if I say it right. The new Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Is she hotter than the old Wonder Woman?
I don't know. I don't particularly like her.
Yeah, she's okay. I mean, she's okay. I mean, she's beautiful, but I don't know. But I love how people bitch about it. Like, we bitch about everything. Is there nothing you can't bitch about? Well, that's not a fair representation. No, it's not. It's not real. It's a symbol. Because you're a woman, and you could be wonderful. You could be wonder. We were like, we're wondering at women. Look at the great thing women do. Women are amazing. Women are incredible. We're wondering about this. If that's what it was, it's not like, oh, she doesn't represent me. Why? Because you don't have an invisible plane or a lasso of truth? Dumbasses. I just wonder, well, I'm getting out of here. She doesn't represent us. Obviously not, because the UN is unfun. That's what it should be called. I'm heading over to the unfun building. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. ChadBensonShow.com. I'm pissed about this for a lot of reasons. I'm going to regale a story of my youth and my mother and what she did for me and how I would have felt in a situation like this tonight. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's right. I just want to tell you something, and I'm pissed at the NBA. I like the NBA. Do I love the NBA? No, I do watch basketball once in a while, but do I love the NBA? No, I love college basketball. But I want to say something right now. Going to sporting events is expensive. It's not cheap, right? You want the best value, and producer Phil, I think you'll back me up on this. The best value that you're going to find is if you live in a small town somewhere in America or a mid-sized town, and you've got a minor league baseball team, it's the best value you're going to get any kind of entertainment.
I wholeheartedly agree with you, Chad.
When I used to live in Sacramento, I used to go to the Rivercats. They were the best minor league baseball team around, AAA team, run like you couldn't believe. Every year they've got this amazing stadium. It was cheap to get into. The food was amazing. It was a great time. Sporting events and taking your family out is an expense now. And it's not a little expense. Tonight, it's the second game of a back-to-back with the Memphis Grizzlies and the world champion Cleveland Cavaliers. It's in Memphis. The stars aren't playing. LeBron, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, the three big stars. John, Paul, George aren't playing. All that's left is Ringo. How would you feel if you went to a concert and all that was left was Ringo and it's not his dazzling band or whatever they were called? All Stars, really? How would you feel? You've spent hard-earned money. Let me give you an idea of what it cost. All right? Let me give you an idea of what it cost. The average ticket is ridiculously expensive because most games are sold out, so you're buying on the reseller market. Right now, to go see a Cleveland Cavaliers game in Cleveland, family of four. Producer Phil, take a whack. What do you think a family of four is going to cost you to go?
$400.
$1,600.
Oh, jeez.
Now, if you've got tickets the regular way, that's fine. But they're the world champions. A few years ago when LeBron wasn't there, it was like $500-$600 to go for a family of four. Lakers, Knicks, all of you, you're going to spend anywhere upwards of $800 to $1,200. Take a family of four to get tickets, to get, you know, you're spending just about $800-$900 on tickets, parking, drinks, this, that, and the other. You're going to go to a game of which your mother and your father, whoever it is, spent their hard-earned money on to take you to a game to see one of the greatest players in the history of basketball. A once-in-a-lifetime experience. For some of these people that are going there tonight, this is their early Christmas gift that mom and dad have worked hard for. Now, look, you walk a fine line because you want your players to be rested. These guys have been through the wars. They've been to back-to-back championships. They have done this. Some of them played in the Olympics. Giving them a break is fine. And the second night of a back-to-back, I understand. But I will tell you this. There's also responsibility. If you want to rest them at home, still some kids are going to miss out, but they're there 41 nights out of the year playing. They're not in Memphis 41 nights. Could you imagine? He's like, we're going to Disneyland. Well, that's going to cost you $1,600, right? Family of four with all the goodies, $120 to get in for the park hopper tickets, you know? Family of four right there. What's that setting you back? About $600 with tax, food throughout the day, some prizes, parking. You're up over a grand plus. Ridiculous. Could you imagine? It was like, sorry, all the rides are closed that you want to go on. Mickey's not coming out either. He decided he didn't want to be a part of today. Could you imagine that?
I never do that, Chad.
I know, Mickey.
Okay.
Mickey's great. Sober again. Thank God. But I remember as a kid, I loved soccer. I mean, that was my thing, right? I loved soccer. The California Surf were our team here. They played it used to be called the Big A, Anaheim Stadium, where the Angels play now. And the New York Cosmos were coming. Pele and Georgie Canalia. And as a kid, I was like, it was the greatest thing ever. My mother scrounged and saved money to take us. We didn't have a lot of money. She took me. I remember waiting outside for her to show up. She comes, right? She picks me up, and she had scrounged and saved money. And we went in, and yeah, you know what? I was fortunate enough to see those stars, and it was amazing. But I will tell you what, I would have been absolutely crushed if Pele or Georgie Canalia, Rick Davis, and all these guys that played in those days, they decided not to play. Yes, you want to win. I get that. But this is an NBA problem that's happening because the want to win and to rest some of these guys is fine, but you play. Michael Jordan didn't say, I'm taking tonight off. Larry Bird had to, but he didn't want to. Hell, Magic Johnson got HIV, took a couple years off, came back and played. There is a responsibility, I think. And that would have pissed, that pisses me off. Because this may be the one time. There's a great story about Wayne Gretzky. I love the great one. Wayne Gretzky's dad. Now, mind you, we don't know what it's like in Canada. But hockey in Canada is football, is European soccer, it's religion. And when you're little and you're a star, you're as big a star in Canada as the biggest hockey players. And when Gretzky was 10, he was a major star. because he was scoring so many goals and he was unstoppable and he was playing against 16 and 18 year olds and he was destroying them. And I remember his dad told the story that he came out and they got in the car and he had scored like 6 goals and, you know, he had like 4 assists and he had like 10 points. His team won. And his dad looked at him and said, you know, I'm disappointed in you. And he goes, why? He goes, you really didn't try tonight. He goes, well, I didn't really have to try. He says, and this is an arena that, you know, that held like 5,000 or 6,000 people in a small little local Canadian town that was sold out for weeks. And he says, you know what? You needed to try. And he says, well, we were winning. He goes, those people paid hard-earned money that they worked for to come see you play, and you let them down because you didn't put in the effort that you were capable of. There's something to that. And yes, you know what? Players need to rest at times. But I think there's a better way of doing it. And I think the NBA really wants to look at this whole resting stars. If you're going to do it away from home, unless there's a legitimate issue, I'm telling you. And Phil, do you guys have that there? Do you have surge pricing in your sports tickets?
Yeah, the Orioles do.
Yeah, surge pricing. If you know what surge pricing is, it's when a team, like let's say the Yankees are in town, you're going to spend $120 on a ticket instead of $60. Cubs are in town, same kind of thing. You know, you've got the Minnesota Twins in town, you may be spending $45 on a ticket. Well, the Cleveland's coming to town. You're not only spending more money, you're now spending more money for less product. It's a responsibility. This just pisses me off when I saw this. Because you only get these few chances as a kid growing up to see your stars. And when they don't, you know, when you can't see them, or when they're scratched, or, you know, it's one thing when they're injured, but when they're a healthy scratch, and they didn't even travel with the team. That's the other thing. The NBA has to do something. To me, I look at this, they have to do something. You've got to credit these players. You've got to give, you know, you've got to do something. You've got to let them go. I couldn't even imagine. I remember as a kid, though, my mom doing that. She saved up her money, and she went, and she got us tickets, and we got a hot dog and a drink, and she got me a pennant from the California Surf, one of those old pennants used to hang over your wall. And it was so great. And I got to see my heroes play. And it's embarrassing. And this is a huge problem. Fans pay huge bucks. I bet you the average, because this, again, is in Memphis. I think we worked out the average tonight was going to be about $800-$900 for a family of four. And that's about the average in the NBA. That's just insane. I mean, think about that. Most people, that's not chump change. That's real money. You're making 40, 50 grand a year between you and your wife. You want to take your kids to some of these things? There's a reason people don't go on vacation every other weekend. It's expensive. It's insane. To me, I find this is embarrassment. This is an absolute embarrassment. Even the commissioner said, look, it's a major concern. He says, we don't want to tell teams they can't rest players, but we've got to figure something out. And I'm telling you, again, if it's at home, it's one thing. But when you're on the road, that's another thing. Because, yes, it is a business. Remember that. It's as much a sport, but it is also as much a business. And people are spending their hard-earned money they made from their business to come see you. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, simple and easy, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Love it when you do that. Also call us 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Wrap it up. Over the hump. Chad Benson Show. I'll take it. Wrap it up. I'll take it.
Wrap it up. I'll take it. You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
You know, it talks about Christmas and the whole... Why would people be offended by the Charlie Brown Christmas thing when Linus talks about it? And you know, what is it? Not so much whether or not there's a war on Christmas. Why are people offended by it? Michael says, you asked tonight about what about Christmas offends you? Well, honestly, nothing. I'm a practicing Wiccan, and I've said Merry Christmas every year. Even though I personally celebrate Yule, I see no point in changing the holidays, even though the only ones I've ever get changed are Christian. In at least current history, my religious holidays were stolen and repurposed for another religion, i.e. Christmas, Yule, Easter, Spring Solstice. You know, Why hasn't Ramadan or Hanukkah or other religious holidays? Plain and simple, because Christian holidays are the ones that are celebrated by more people, regardless of religion. Like I said, I'm a practicing Wiccan, celebrating the Christian holidays more so because my family does, but also for the joy and warmth, along with the people I care about, brings nothing, not the name or religion associated with. Thank you for taking time to read this. Well, appreciate that, man. Thanks so much. Look, it's, again, I'm curious as to why people are offended. And I know it has to do with the majority, right? Because we all want to rail against the majority. Anytime we see something as dominant, we want to rail against the dominance. So it is what it is. Speaking of Christmas, okay, so the other day there was a story about a Santa Claus who had a dying boy who died in his arms. And now the story, some people are saying, is unraveling. And I don't know if it is or isn't. Look, here's the thing. First of all, he's a great-looking Santa Claus. You've never seen him. He is. I don't care if he tells porky pies. Still a hell of a looking Santa Claus right there. But the story's gone viral, right? USA Today republished the column. It was written by the New Sentinel columnist, San Venable. A bunch of national news things. They've been on CNN, the whole nine yards. You know, let's see here. Santa actor Eric Schmidt Mattson said about the final moments with the boy, when you get to those pearly gates, you tell them you're Santa's number one elf, and I'll let them, and they'll let you in. And that's what he said. He said he cried all the way home, and it was, and now it's like, is it real or not? And the original publisher says they can't stand by it, their words anymore, because they don't know if it's real, because he won't talk about who the child is and who the family is. And, of course, they want to know, because that's the world we live. I don't know. Cynically, I could see why people say, I don't know if I believe this. And uncynically, I could say, well, I could see why, you know, they may not want to give, you know, they may not want to give any kind of interviews. CNN called all major hospitals in the Knoxville area that treated children, and none could confirm his account. The coroner's office was unable to provide information with a name and also did a search for obituaries in the area. So, you know, now they called all of the hospitals. Well, I mean, you know, what if you're a family and you don't want this out? I could see that. I mean, but that's the cynicism, right, that we have in this country. Even if it's not true, wasn't it a nice story? Come on, we're living off fake news, right? That's all we live off of. None of what we talk about is real. We're not even real. We're some alternative universe anyways. We are the Sims for some weird alien race. That's what we are. We are the Sims. We're a hologram. We're right next to Tupac. Tupac got it right. Schmidt Mattson, a.k.a. Santy, told the Washington Post he stands by his account and would not name the nurse or the boy. If some people want to call me a liar, I can handle that better than I can handle a child in my arms dying. It sticks and stones. So we'll see. Again, they say it's unraveling. He said he arrived in the hospital 15 minutes, took the child into his arms, warning people who might cry to leave the room. Interesting. I mean, you would know if Santa's there, right? There's stories about this. Like, there's a great story. That's not a great story, but there's a story like this with Big Bird. And the guy who plays Big Bird, and he made a phone call to a little girl that was dying, and it was really touching, and they talked for a couple minutes, and she hung up, and she said, Big Bird and I are best friends, and then she literally, within moments, passed away. That was real. That was documented. I think it was on the documentary about that. There's stories about this. Is it real? Is it not real? I don't know. The cynicism. Today, there was a... I read something in the Orange County Register of a police or a fire captain here in Southern California who had, say, 12-year-old, who's married, has a 12-year-old and a 5-year-old, and jumped to his death off a very busy freeway overpass and died committing suicide. And the first thing I thought of was not that he was depressed. Not that he was any of those things. The first thing I thought of was he must have done something wrong and he got caught. Like, that's the cynicism we have. We're like looking for it. Like, if you say something, we're looking for it, right? We're looking for it. It's sad. It's sad, but true. Very sad. Hopefully it's not true and no child died. But, you know, I mean, it's the whole, first of all, I don't know, how do you do that, right? Like, don't you think somebody's going to check? Like, don't you think somebody's going to check on some of these things? That's, I think, is a question. Like, you don't think that you're going to get this much publicity and not have somebody check whether or not? Because we are a nosy society. It's funny. The press will search anywhere to find out if a five-year-old died in the arms of fake Santa Claus, but they won't look for 30,000 emails. Oh, God. Cynicism. It is everywhere. What'd you have for dinner? Cynicism steak? It was delicious. Just so wrong. Speaking of that, 1 in 6 Americans take psychiatric drugs or have in the past couple years. I believe that. What are we so depressed about? Is it all Trump's fault now? Producer Anthony, fake news. That's what depresses us. Very interesting. I don't know how you come up with that. Like, are you sitting at home when you decide this is the idea you want to do? And you go, I'm going to do this? Sad. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. We got you over the hump, as we always do. Check out ChadBensonShow.com for all the podcasts, all our funny bits, and the whole nine yards. ChadBensonShow.com. You can email us, Chad@ChadBensonShow.com, and always text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. For the czar, for Scott, for my man Anthony and Phil out there, you have a wonderful night. Over the hump. Night-night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.